Even if there were shifts in the market that you are ahead of the game and you're doing the right things, a lot of money could be made. Good money is made during hard times. And so if that is what's ahead, I welcome it. I think it's going to be a huge opportunity.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Amanda, how are you?
I am doing great. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. Thanks so much. You hail from the CPA world, so it's going to be fun to get into a conversation relative to CPA world, taxes, whatever might be changing in the future and what you're seeing people do right or do wrong. But tell me this. We all started someplace. How in the world did you even enter into the spot of, you know, real estate being in your world?
Well, so I grew up, actually, I'm the third generation of real estate investors. So my grandparents invested in real estate. My parents dabbled in real estate. But I always was taught the traditional path, like, you know, get good grades, get into a good college and get a good job, which is what I did. I always wanted to be an accountant. Yeah. One of my uncles was a CPA and just I love like his lifestyle and I love numbers. I'm good with that. And I started working at one of the big four accounting firms, happened to end up in their real estate specialty group. So my experience working in my job was to work with real estate investors and, you know, just kind of seeing how they were able to make so much money, but pay very little taxes.
Yeah.
And that got me intrigued into, you know, hey, maybe I can do this too.
Incredible. That was your entry point. You got in there, you started to see, okay, well, maybe there's something to this real estate things. They make incredible money. They pay little taxes. That tells you that the tax code is written to their advantage as long as they know how to take advantage of it. So what was your entry point then into investing?
Yeah, you know, I read this little book, probably no one's heard of it, called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? Yeah, by Robert Kiyosaki.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It's the first time. Yeah.
You should really check it out.
I'll check it out.
Actually, my husband, Matt, who was also a CPA, we worked together in the firm. He was on that Reddit. I remember we were laying in bed. He read it. He's like, you know, we should buy some real estate. And I was shocked. I was like, you lost your mind. You know, I mean, here we are, even though we're working in real estate taxation, but it was always like, that's what the clients did, right? Like, who am I to do real estate?
It wasn't for me, right?
It wasn't for me. I'm just helping people calculate real estate tax. We said, yeah, you know, let's do it. Let's just buy like a property and see how it works out. And so that's how we got started. But it was, I have to say, it was, you know, quite scary. I remember signing on our first closing paperwork. You know, back then it was like not electronic signature. Right? I had to print everything out. And I remember just like my heart jumping out of my chest. Like, am I ready? Is this the right decision? But yeah, we've never looked back.
What got you through that? How did you go from that self-speak of, you know, being somewhat afraid, you know, an emotional jolt, to actually get into the closing table, to take that action? Because I think a lot of people get caught in that paralysis, right? Paralysis by analysis or just paralysis by fear. How'd you get through that?
You know, I think my personality is just kind of just do it. And by the time I really started to have that fear, like I said, we were at the signing table, right? So you're not getting out then.
Too late.
You're either going to just, you know, become a crazy person and run out the door, or you're just going to proceed with it. So yeah, I think it's just, you know, not overthinking it. I mean, I think, you know, we all get the fear, but once you're there, you know, it's just one foot in front of the other.
You've been specializing in working with real estate investors for years now at this point. Tell me, where do you see real estate investors getting it super right? They dial it in. They've got a really good control over their, you know, they're taking advantage of all the tax benefits that are available to them. Where are they getting this right? What are they doing?
Yeah. You know, I think my job actually is really easy. You know, people are like, hey, is it difficult, you know, working with real estate people? And my job is really easy because when by the time people come to me, they're already convinced real estate is a good investment, right?
Yeah.
And so that part of that is already done for me. And as we know, real estate comes with so many great tax benefit. And, you know, partly because a lot of the lawmakers invest in real estate as well.
Yep.
The government also wants to incentivize us to provide housing for people who don't own a home. So that's why there's all these government incentives behind it. I think what people are getting right is the fact that it's a great wealth building tool, you know, just being able to utilize those benefits like depreciation and, you know, just maximizing their write-offs and being able to keep more of the money they're making in real estate compared to like a job, right? When we were make money working, there are not a whole lot of things typically that you can do to reduce taxes from like W-2 income.
Correct. Yeah. So elaborate on that. You know, Donald Trump, love him or hate him, I totally get it. But he did say, if you're in real estate and you pay taxes, you're doing it wrong. What are a couple of the things strategically that real estate investors do right in order to minimize their income, especially there's a lot of incentives in the first year of buying this, people can and should be taking advantage of.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. I haven't heard him say that if you invest in real estate and you pay tax, you're doing something wrong. But that's actually true. You know, when I talk to people, they're like, hey, at least on the rental income side, right? If you're buying real estate and it's the first couple of years of ownership and, you know, odds are you're probably not paying a lot of tax. Now there's always the anomalies where it's like super great cash flow or for whatever reason it was like a gift or inherited property or something like that. But, you know, for real estate investors, because we get depreciation, right? That's the ability to take a paper loss on the purchase price of a property. And so that is where you're, you know, that's the reason people are saying, hey, if you're owning real estate, odds are you're not paying a lot of taxes, because not only are we writing off mortgage interest and property taxes and just our out-of-pocket expenses, but we also get to take this paper loss, which then reduces the taxes or offsets it on the rental income we're generating.
Yeah. In the first year, certainly, you're seeing accelerated depreciation. You get to move that depreciation forward.
Yeah. I mean, right now, you know, we have bonus depreciation, right? I mean, it's set to change a little bit, but nonetheless, for the next couple of years, we will still get bonus depreciation, which is huge. Basically, it is your ability to write off more of the depreciation at a faster pace. Well, let me rephrase that. You're not writing off more. You're just writing it off faster. So, let me clarify so I don't mislead people. So instead of, you know, waiting until 27 and a half years or 39 years to write off your building, you're writing more of that off sooner. And sometimes people are like, why is that important? You know, why do I not want to just save it or write it off slowly? I think something interesting is like, you know, not a lot of people own their real estate for, you know, the same real estate, at least, right? For 27 years or 39 years. Right? You're probably getting out and, you know, trading up. Correct. So it's important to get those deductions up front. And the time value of money, right? Money saved today is more money I can invest and buy more real estate.
Correct. And if you're treated as a real estate professional, that offsets your regular active income.
Yeah, all types of income, right? The beauty of being a real estate professional is that now the rental losses don't just offset rental and other passive income. We can now kind of combine everything together and it offsets, you know, W-2 income, or if you're retired, you know, retirement income, or if you're into crypto or stocks, all types of income. And that's where all the magic happens, you know, that fairy tale land where I live in.
Yes, exactly. There's no right or wrong here. So I'm going to set you up. You go anywhere you want with this. Looking forward and, you know, looking down the line, where do you think we're headed in real estate? And maybe as it relates to taxation over the next handful of years, where do you think this market's headed?
Gosh, well, that's way above my pay grade. I'm not an economist, but, you know, I did. What's really interesting is my husband and I used to work for the Big Four accounting firm. And when we went out on our own, it was at the beginning of the last real estate crash. So you can imagine, right? Quit your job, start having kids, and then specialize in real estate where everybody was going through foreclosures. But, you know, I mean, we thrive in that environment. And, you know, a lot of money has been made as a result of that market crash. So, you know, I'm not saying the market is going to crash. I'm just saying, even if there were shifts in the market, that if you are ahead of the game and you're doing the right things, a lot of money could be made. You know, good money is made during hard times. And so if that is what's ahead, then at least for me, I welcome it. You know, I think this is going to be a huge opportunity.
Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Never been on the show who's brought everything? It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. Generational wealth gets built in recessions.
Yeah. I love how you sum up what took me a minute to say in one sentence.
You're more elegant. I'm more bullet point. This is what, you know what? That's why you've got such a terrific book. You and your husband wrote the book. I told you, and I'll tell the audience, I owned it long before you and I ever met. I've owned it for a handful of years now. It's a terrific book, Tax Strategies for the Savvy Real Estate Investor. You guys can find it on Amazon. I'll make sure we get the link below in the show notes. Maybe just at a high level, tell me a little about the book. Tell the audience about the book, about what it is. And certainly, you know, I recommend it, but why should somebody read it? What are they going to get?
Yeah. It's funny because I wrote the book, actually, the title, the chapters of the book came to me when I was on a cruise with my husband. Okay. It was just two of us. You know, back then there was like no internet on the ship. Where there was, but it was like super expensive.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, well, what am I going to do to start scribbling? And like, okay, I'm going to read a book. And so I brought a couple textbooks with me and I was reading it. And it's like, literally, like falling.
You're on vacation and you bring textbooks with you? That's what you do.
That's all my confession. I'm a tax geek. That's what we do.
All right.
So it's reading it. I'm like for me, literally falling asleep reading a textbook, and I'm a CPA, right? So I'm kind of like, wow, this is quite terrible. Yeah. That if I'm falling asleep to these textbooks, how can we expect regular investors to want to read about tax at all? Yeah, right. It's a very important topic, right?
Correct.
And so I also love reading the Chicken Soup for the Soul, yes, kind of books with, yep, little stories. And I thought, yep, you know what? I have so many stories from working with clients, yeah, on like how they use tax strategies effectively and kind of how they used it ineffectively when they did it wrong. And so I thought, well, I'm going to write a book about, you know, let me think about like 12 different stories, like good and bad. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how it came about. And the book is really, you know, for those of you listening, it's like who are not CPAs, it's not intended for CPAs. Nope. It's actually intended for everyday investors.
That's right.
We don't talk about the tax code. There's not a whole lot of numbers actually. It's really just sharing stories of actual clients and kind of what they did that worked out well for them, yeah, to save on taxes.
All right. Give me one story where, you know, it doesn't have to be from the book. Where did somebody get it wrong? What have you seen? You know, maybe it's a client coming to you then after they totally screwed it up, or a previous CPA. They just didn't take full advantage of all the tools and resources, really the legal code that's written for them.
Yeah. I mean, we could probably do a whole podcast just on that, right? But yeah, I think it's just, you know, one that comes to mind, because we mentioned a little bit about real estate professional, right? How you can use the losses to offset all types of income.
Yeah.
We talked about accelerating depreciation. Yeah. So I think people would maybe hear that on a podcast like today's and say, hey, you know, that's great. I'm going to go ahead and do a cost segregation. I'm getting a huge tax savings. But maybe what they didn't hear was like, well, you have to be a real estate professional to actually offset taxes from your W-2 income.
Correct.
So that's kind of a bad scenario I see a lot, where people are like, you know, they take little snippets of what they hear on strategies and they just implement it without actually consulting with their tax person. And so maybe jumping the gun and spending money on something that actually might have benefited a little bit more had they just waited a year, or, you know, made sure they did like steps 2, 3, and 4 as well.
Yeah. Right? Let's talk about waiting a year. You know, what a lot of people, I think, at least when I converse with people on the single family side, they don't know in many cases that you can actually accelerate the depreciation of houses. And in some cases, you know, if you're, there's a catch-up provision, or you'll elaborate and maybe correct me on the term, but you can actually, you know, if you've owned a number of homes for a number of years, there's actually a way to go in and take accelerated depreciation now at the current year to take advantage of everything at a single time.
Yeah, for sure. So cost segregation, let me just define it real quick.
Please.
So we talked earlier, like, yeah, you can depreciate your properties over 27 and a half years. It's just the kind of the slow and steady method the IRS allows us to do it.
Yep.
They also like to do is what's called accelerated depreciation. So they're saying, taking this building, you know, depreciating it over 27 and a half years, I'm going to write off more in the initial few years so I can, you know, save on more taxes. And the way it works is you have a company go out and they, a cost segregation firm, they look at the building and they break it onto different components like specialty plumbing or cabinets and flooring. And those are the things that you can write off a little bit faster, right? Or, yep, much faster with bonus, right, depreciation. So traditionally, to do a project like that is somewhat expensive. And so it would be reserved for like apartment investors or people in commercial real estate. But with technology, with even like COVID, right? Everything, yep, can be done remotely, and the bonus depreciation. Now, this type of accelerated depreciation could actually benefit a lot of single family home investors. So we had a client who bought, you know, like $400,000 property. They're getting maybe about almost $100,000 in depreciation. So you can see it's not really just for the large properties anymore. It's even for smaller scale properties. And a lot of people are of the assumption too that you have to do it in the first year you buy a property. And that's actually not true.
Right.
You can do a cost segregation at any time during the ownership of a property. So the question is not, you know, whether you can do it, it's when can you do it? You want to do it in a year where you can actually benefit from the depreciation. For example, if you're like a real estate professional, or if you're doing short-term rentals and you meet the hours requirement, so that you generate the loss in the year, you can actually use it to offset various types of income that you might be earning.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety there. And somebody should, I said earlier, they should seek professional help. They should find it is and connect with their CPA and determine and put some tax strategy planning behind it. And then on top,
yeah,
of this,
yeah,
on an ongoing basis, it's when they get to a point where they want to sell a property, it's communicating with their CPA and talking about, you know, what are their options? Because you can roll that in a 1031 and keep it going, if you will, or maybe it makes sense to take the income and pay the taxes at the current time.
Yeah, I think one of the most common mistakes I see from investors is not understanding that there's a difference actually between tax return filing and tax planning. So, you know, we all file tax returns, like every single one of us, hopefully, we're making money, we're filing,
correct,
taxes. And so the tax return filing is basically you taking your paper and giving it to your tax preparer, and then they put the numbers on the right forms, and that's, you know, and then they tell you how much you owe or what your refund is.
Yes.
But the planning is kind of like what you're saying, Neil, is like ahead of time, right? Talking with your CPA during the year, saying, hey, I might buy this property, or I might sell. Should I sell? Should I refinance? And then working through like, okay, what's the tax consideration? What are some tax opportunities here to consider?
Yeah. In my world, that looks like an investment advisor. I mean, think about a traditional 9-to-5er works a job, they're an investor, they're in the stock market. That's great. But when you talk to people like me, right, we're all in on real estate. Those people become, right, my tax advisor, almost an investment advisor, because we're talking about what that looks like, because taxes are such, you know, on, you already know this, but for the audience's sake, out of anything you'll ever pay in the course of your lifetime, the number one line item that you'll pay, the greatest single line item is taxes.
Yeah. I think there was a research that came out from taxfoundation.org that said taxes is our biggest expense. So we actually spend more money in taxes than we do on food, clothing, and housing. So that was pretty shocking, because, you know, housing is quite expensive, but it's all those combined is what we spend in tax. I don't like the word spend. Like, who spends money on taxes?
No,
you lose money to taxes.
You lose money to taxes. Yeah, you're totally right. I want to move on to the final spank, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
So your favorite quote, it's not how much you make, but it's how much of it you get to keep. Kiyosaki said it. What about that resonates most with you?
Oh gosh, you know, I think for me, because I'm a CPA, I see people, you know, of different income levels. And it's really, really interesting. So you might think maybe a physician making $500,000 a year is a lot wealthier than, you know, someone who's like retired or a part-time teacher making a lot less than that. But that's not always the case, right? Because someone making high income might be paying, you know, close to 50% of that just to income taxes.
Correct.
And so it's about how much of it you actually get to keep.
They oftentimes, depending on what your profession is, it has a high price tag associated with the lifestyle. To keep up with that circle you run in. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think probably fear.
Fear.
You know, for what I see a lot is people being fearful, for newer investors at least, right? Fearful of the next level, or even for experienced investors who maybe a fear of getting into larger deals like multifamily. I actually talked to a client recently who was like, invest in land for mobile home parks. And I said, you should just invest in mobile home parks, right? Yeah. Not just the land. He's like, wow, that's so much. I can't do it. I'm like, but you're already doing it. You are already doing it.
Right.
Just a tiny step.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Oh, gosh. I'm passionate about eating.
What's the favorite food? Do you document this? Tell me more.
Yes. I like all kinds of food, but, you know, I love hole-in-the-wall places.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just something about hole-in-the-wall that's just like, oh, you know, whatever type of food, I just know is going to be the best.
Can't be duplicated, right? Yeah, it just can't be duplicated. There's just one. Those little tiny hole malls, just whatever they make is just unique to them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love those places too. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Gosh, you know, I love education. So I think what we do is something that's definitely needed by a lot of investors or just taxpayers in general. So I love being on podcasts like this, going to events, just kind of, you know, sharing the knowledge. I feel like the more people who hear it or understand it and take action on it, the better off we all are, you know, because investors, I think we're giving back to the community. We're investing for housing. It's really important to continue to do that.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, we launched Real Grit Vault, a collection of resources available to our listeners. And I understand you're making a contribution to our vault today for the listeners. Maybe share a little about that.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be part of the vault. So we put together a tax savings toolkit. So one of the things is, you know, we talked a little bit about depreciation, real estate professional, you know, writing off expenses. So our tax savings toolkit has some additional information like, hey, you know, I heard you can pay your kids, can take a tax deduction. What does that mean? How does it work? You know, what is a real estate professional? So we go into the details of that. And then another common question I get from people is like, how do I know if I'm overpaying in taxes? And the truth is, I can't tell you if you're overpaying in taxes. But we created a tax opportunity zone finder. And so basically, it's a set of questions that you can ask yourself to gauge what your risk is currently of overpaying in taxes, and then also identify some opportunity areas for you as well. So it's all part of the tax savings toolkit. That's going to be part of the vault. And I'm excited for you guys to utilize it.
Thanks so much for the contribution. I mean, it's free for you guys. And obviously, that's got a big reward that Amanda has put together for everybody. So www.realgritvault.com. You can can find it there. Amanda, I appreciate your time to connect here on the show. You've got a wonderful story, and I know you've been in other places, and I own your book. So I know you're out and about, very busy in terms of what you do and helping, specialize in helping real estate investors pay the least legal amount that's required of them to pay. For people who want to find you, follow, they want to connect, where can they go? What should they do?
Yeah, so our company website, it's keystonecpa.com, K-E-Y-S-T-O-N-E-C-P-A. Lots of great information. We post a lot of tax updates frequently. On social media, I'm most frequently on Instagram, and you can look me up, Amanda Hahn, CPA. So follow me if you want to know more about what I do in tax and also outside of tax. You'll see pictures of my food and my kids.
Perfect. Yeah. We'll make sure we get all those links put below in the show notes. Amanda, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Neil.
You bet. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology, and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge, how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off-market 20X profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing on 20X profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving that passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years, becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com, 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register, it's totally free, 20xprofitchallenge.com, and I'll see you in the challenge.